From the KBIA newsroom in Columbia, this is Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. I'm Sarah Shariari. This week on Intersection, we talk with Missouri House Representative for District 44, Sheree Tolson Reich, who was elected in November and recently began her first term in the Missouri House. Sheree won the seat formerly occupied by Kayla Browden, who is now in the Missouri Senate. She formerly served as Hallsville City Clerk and, more recently, as Hallsville Mayor.
District 44 includes Hallsville, Centralia, Sturgeon, and Clark. The other half of the district is Northeast Columbia, so it's kind of like you have half rural and half urban. I'm used to the smaller towns like Sturgeon and Centralia and Clark. I'm a small town girl, so, but I can also relate. The industrial corridor is in my district along the Paris Road, Route B area, but also in Centralia, Hubble was formerly known as AB Chance Company, is one of the largest employers in all of Boone County.
So you have a real mix of probably farmers, people who are business people in small towns, larger businesses. Is it a challenge to represent all those people?
You know, I think it was a perfect fit. You know, as mayor and city clerk, I've worked with all these community members and leaders. I worked on the Regional Economic Development Incorporated, the READY Board, for 24 years. And our job was to create jobs, keep existing jobs, and to expand those existing businesses. So I've worked hand in hand with the local business community to try to bring companies to Boone County. But I can tell you firsthand, one of the first things I ran on last year for office, I knew, you know, some people may not like me for it or not like what I say. I was for right to work. I advocated for right to work, and I said if elected, I would vote for it. And I know firsthand, this isn't going to cure all the job ills out there, but this is a tool in the toolbox of economic development. I've seen facts, I've seen data of right-to-work states growing jobs and also growing union worker numbers. Right now in Missouri, 8% of our workers are union. So that leaves 92% of our workers are not union. I am not anti-union. I have family members that are union. Mm-hmm. This is not an anti-union bill. I can tell you specifically, I was working with a manufacturer out of the Northeast about 2 to 3 years ago. It would bring 100 jobs to Boone County. What happened was they looked at us. They came to us. We sent them a great proposal. They went to Arkansas. Those 100 jobs, good paying with full benefits, went to a right-to-work state. I know right-to-work is going to go in the right direction.
Opponents of right-to-work say that it weakens the unions, leads to lower salaries, and to fewer employees being insured by their employers. Is that something that you've seen as a possibility?
No, actually quite the opposite. Places like Indiana, now Kentucky just this earlier in January came on board as the latest right-to-work state. But you can look to Tennessee and other states that union numbers have actually increased and jobs have increased. And we're not talking about weakening unions. People just now have the choice.
In your research, are the salaries in right-to-work states on par with states that don't have that legislation?
We think so. The facts I've seen from other states, I've looked at the numbers, I've looked at the jobs, I've looked at the wages. I am not seeing what their fear and doom and gloom is predicting. You know, I've had a lot of contact from constituents, but, you know, my constituents know me and they know where I was coming from and they knew how I was going to vote. And it's not just me as a person, as one of 163 House members. The House and the Senate and the governor have all three said this will happen.
In 2 years, how will you assess whether right to work has been a good choice for District 44? What will you be looking to?
Well, several things. Number one, it may take 3 to 5 years of getting some raw data. Okay, has it created more jobs? Has it brought out-of-state companies to Missouri, to the 44th District? What are our job numbers, our true job numbers? Here's what I find. there are the unemployed, but there are the underemployed. They have two, maybe three part-time jobs with no benefits. We want to see what the real raw data is in 3 to 5 years from now. How many people are going back to work full-time to a job that has health insurance? We need to get more people off the Medicaid rolls because they're unemployed or underemployed. We need to get people to have a job that they can support their families and not having two or three part-time jobs with no benefits. I've seen it firsthand in my district.
It's a terribly difficult situation to work so much and to not have that security of insurance or anything like that.
I can speak about it firsthand. I've been there, done that.
And when we talk about a company that was thinking about coming to Missouri but instead went to Arkansas because
Correct.
It's right to work, what do you think made a right to work state more appealing? Is it because they could avoid the unions if they wanted to?
You know, that may be one of the factors. There's different factors. You know, different states have different economic development incentives, job credits, workforce development, help with training people. There's also maybe incentives on if they're going to give them land or, you know, here in Boone County, we have like Chapter 100 bonds right next to the, I call it the hot dog plant, but it's Kraft Foods on Waco at Paris Road. They're looking right now to sell a shovel-ready ready site to a company out of Colorado. And my understanding is this would have organic milk and products. And so, you know, I'm hoping to see more companies like that coming to Missouri because, you know, Boone County is going to have to approve the Chapter 100 bonds. The city of Columbia bought the land for $3 million, but they're willing to take a cut and sell it to them for $2 million. So we have to see that trickle-down effect. There was a former professor here at the University of Missouri named Dr. Jerry Wade. And Jerry Wade had the rusty bucket theory. And your rusty bucket represents your community, and you need to plug those holes and to keep those dollars in your community, in the bucket, and not going out to other communities, other states. So, you know, we need to provide those jobs and services to keep those dollars and people in our communities.
I can see how, you know, more flexibility with unions could be appealing to a business. But if a business looks at a state with right to work and decides, great, we're going to be able to avoid the unions by going to this other state, doesn't that look like they're sort of avoiding the bargaining power that a union brings to the table?
Not necessarily. I mean, you know, everybody has their own opinion. I think any company, any major company, whether it's manufacturing, for example, you know, we're looking that as of February 1, yesterday, Amazon now going to start charging Missouri sales tax, 4.225% on every dollar. I believe it's estimated to be maybe over $30 million that will be coming into Missouri. And so we need to keep having people look at Missouri. When I went on the freshman tour back in December, you know, I was amazed at the river ports that we have on the Missouri and Mississippi rivers, the railroads. You know, people just when you think of MoDOT or infrastructure, you think of like I-70. We need to more utilize those other forms of transportation. Now, most people in the rural Missouri know this, but agriculture is our number one product and that we export food around the country and around the world. So, you know, we need to be a farmer-friendly business community you know, we need to help all businesses. We need to cut regulations.
So I guess the debate about right to work is going to be something we see unfold as we look at statistics over the coming 3 to 5 years?
I think so. I don't know that any of us have a crystal ball. I think it's going to, the facts will play out and we will see whether it was a good idea, bad idea. We will see how the numbers play out over, and I don't think it's just going to happen overnight or in the next year or two. I think this is going to be a 3 to 5 year look and wait and see approach. But I'm very optimistic. I'm very positive about it. I've seen so many companies and businesses in right-to-work states expand and grow.
This is Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM, and we're with Cherie Tolson-Reich, the new Missouri House Representative for District 44. And we've been talking about the legislation often called Right to Work, which Governor Eric Greitens signed into law last week. And on to sort of another long-term Missouri issue, which was for a long time, would Missouri expand Medicaid or not? That was a major topic of conversation. And now, of course, the whole panorama has changed with the Affordable Care Act and how are these things going to function going forward. So Missouri has a significant number of people who are uninsured, who gained coverage through the Affordable Care Act. It's about 200,000 people. If the Affordable Care Act goes away, what do you think Missouri can do to help these people not become uninsured?
Okay, well, you know, I can talk about that firsthand. You know, they talk about numbers of people that got on Affordable Care Act, though I went out on the open market and paid for out of my own pocket what I would consider a major medical policy. And then when the Affordable Care Act kicked in, my private health insurance rates were tripled. Mm-hmm. I could not afford health insurance. I'm a single person and you know, have to support my household all by myself. And so when my health insurance rates tripled, you talk about the number of people that went on Affordable Care Act, I went without health insurance for all of 2014 and 2015. And then with the penalty tax kicking in, I went out on the open market or the Affordable Care Act marketplace to try to sign up, see what it would do. So the only thing I could get for a person my age and everything and my mid to low income level, I have a $7,000 deductible. Okay, you get one free doctor visit out of that, and that's it. I am on the lifetime payment plan at a local hospital because I have to pay $7,000 out of pocket before they kick in a dime. So, you know, people can whine and cry about poor people not getting on Medicaid or expanding Medicaid in Missouri. Well, I've been there, done that. So let me give you another example. I have a relative and his wife. It's a married couple. And, you know, they didn't have internet at their home. So I helped them. The deadline was January 31st, a couple days, nights ago at midnight. So we got online with my computer and internet and tried to sign them up for the Affordable Care Act. And they have a very low income. Let me tell you, very low. And they said, well, we can insure you because in Missouri now there's one provider, United Healthcare. All the others pulled out of Missouri. I had Coventry. They canceled me December 31st, and I couldn't afford to get on them for a month until my state of Missouri health insurance kicked in, which I am paying for out of pocket. Representatives don't get free health insurance. We do pay for our health insurance. But anyway, this married couple on their low income were going to have to pay $815 a month, and their take-home pay was maybe $1,400 a month. And so we're like, okay, we bring home $1,400 a month. Our insurance would be $815. But you know what the marketplace said? Well, you're exempt from paying the penalty. So I'm sorry, we can't offer you insurance, you know, because you'd have to come up with over $800 a month. And, you know, that would leave them $600 a month to live on.
So it sounds like those people are too high income for Medicaid, but the open market through health insurance is too expensive for them, so they're sort of in that coverage gap area.
No, it's not their income. It's that they're able-bodied people. They're not like a disabled. They are not like a pregnant or nursing mother. They are just your average low-income family trying to make ends meet. So they aren't eligible for Medicaid. You know, if they were on disability or other factors along that lines, then they could maybe get on the rolls. But the state of Missouri's budget, when people start talking about cuts to whether it's education, transportation, mental health, it's because the Medicaid rolls keep expanding and growing. So as that's taking a bigger chunk of money out of the state's budget, where are we going to cut at? What other programs and departments are going to have to lose money so we have to put more money into Medicaid? My philosophy, get these people to work, you know, one good job or, you know, they're underemployed or unemployed. And, and this family, they had one working and one not working. So the one spouse, you know, needs to go get a job and the other one may need to get a better job.
And for people who do have insurance through the Affordable Care Act now, and people like this family that, you know, finds the open market unaffordable but doesn't qualify for Medicaid either, it sounds like your answer is that people need jobs. Are there enough jobs for those people to get right now to be able to be insured, or is that something that they're going to need to wait for?
Well, and I think that's what we're working to stimulate the Missouri economy. And we think right to work is only one of the ways. You know, there's a representative out of St. Louis named Shamed Dugan, and he uses the example, say an African-American wants to braid hair. She has to go through over 1,000 hours of cosmetology school and be licensed by the state of Missouri to braid hair. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, that's just one example. I know when Catherine Hanaway was running for governor last year, I heard her say, you know, how many regulations there are to be a barber, how many combs you have to have, how many pairs of scissors you have to have. You know, she said there was more barber regulations than there were in the Book of Revelations, you know, words. So it's like, okay, let's be more business friendly. Now, I would like to use the example. We did pass some in the House on Uber and Lyft. Just think of how many college students, retired people, housewives, you know, if they want to go out and earn a few dollars and want to be an Uber driver. The Uber company on the night of the inaugural ball and inauguration in Jeff City that on January 9th, they let everybody ride for free, you know. So, you know, and we think it'll cut down on drunk driving and accidents and deaths due to people driving when they shouldn't.
Do Uber and Lyft insure their drivers?
They have to provide their own proof of insurance, is my understanding. I don't know everything about them. I've never used them personally.
What I'm hearing is, okay, so deregulation means that more people can do things like hair braiding or barbering or Uber or Lyft, these ways that are great to bring some money into a household, but those aren't jobs that have insurance associated with them. So
no.
Where would those people get their insurance from?
No, and I think this is to supplement. Say you're a University of Missouri student. You know, you're going to school full time, but maybe you want to earn a little money on a football weekend, on a Friday, Saturday night. So maybe you want to be an Uber driver. That might help you, you know, just with the extra necessities. So when you graduate from college, you won't maybe, you know, be lacking so much in just some extra spending money or whatever.
So those sorts of jobs are more like supplemental income as opposed to the job that would provide the health insurance and
sure.
the livable wage.
Absolutely. And I use the examples of housewives, retirees, and maybe students. I'm not talking about Uber and Lyft being your full-time job with benefits. No, absolutely not.
I'm Sarah Shariari, and this is Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM. We're talking with Cherie Tolson-Reich, the new Missouri House Representative for District 44.
We had some of our reporters go to Hallsville, visit Hallsville, and ask people in Hallsville if they had any sort of questions or comments for you. And one of these people was talking about Route B, which he feels is dangerous and needs repairs.
Okay.
And he was wondering about infrastructure and roadways, not only in Hallsville, but across the state. And if you think there's a way that Missouri can improve those services. And that's another one of these big long-term debates in Missouri about roads and infrastructure.
Yeah, my name is Kevin Nichols, and I'm from Hallsville, Missouri.
And so Cherie Rice replaced Caleb Rowden in the 44th District, and so she's the new representative for this area. What are some things you hope she'll do for you as your representative?
Well, I hope that they can work on Route B because it's a really dangerous road, and there's been a lot of car accidents and people have died. And I mean, because it's dangerous, you know, because it's like at nighttime, you can't, if you're going on Route B, either direction, it's hard to see, you know, what's coming out from the woods, whether it be deer or whatever kind of animal it might be, you know, because there could be a person on the side of the road walking and you wouldn't even be able to see them because it's so dark, you know, they need a little bit more lighting also.
Is there any questions that you would want to ask her?
Well, I wouldn't really want to ask her no questions. I would just be like, is there any type of way that they could put aside some type of funding to, you know, further make Route B a more safe place for people to drive on? That's it.
Well, I'd be glad to talk about that. I had two meetings with MoDOT before I was ever sworn in, and I actually met with them again in person each time Tuesday of this week. And if I realized this was a question, I would have brought my to-do list with me. But there's a couple of things going on in my 44th district that I'm really excited about. One of the things, we've had a lot of accidents, fatalities between Hallsville and Centralia on 124. North. It is not a road problem, but what they're going to do, they are going to, the current shoulders are gravel, and they're going to asphalt those 4 feet wide on each side. But what they're also going to add is the rumble strips that you currently see if you're about to drift off the sides of the road. They're going to add those and also down the center of the road to maybe stop a little bit of these crossovers or people going over the center line. And I think, again, a lot of issues with driving and accidents may be impaired driving, but it may be just inattention, whether it's cell phones, texting, talking. So other things I'm excited about is Route B south of Hallsville. So you're coming up from Columbia going northbound, and you have this nice wide Route B, and then it goes down to narrow with no shoulders. So MoDOT does have it on their list to widen those, add some shoulders and make it more safer. We're also looking at some third turning lanes, possibly at, right now we're looking at Kemper Road, which is about a half mile south of Hallsville, HH, which is it between Hallsville and Columbia. And they're also going to be doing some other improvements along Paris Road this year. They're going to be doing a repaving project of Paris Road and doing some sidewalk replacement repair to comply with the Americans with Disabilities Act. And so, you know, we've got a lot of good things going on. And I can't speak highly enough of MoDOT, of what they do with what they have. And they're really making those dollars stretch.
Yes, MoDOT is notoriously cash-strapped, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think that we need to find new revenue streams for MoDOT?
Well, yeah, that's one of the things some of the committees are looking on. Now, I did want to mention the committees that I'm currently sitting on and working on various House bills. I'm on the Judiciary Committee. I'm also on the the government oversight is a special committee by the Speaker of the House, Todd Richardson. So I'm on a government oversight committee, and then I'm also on the elections committee. And I'd also like to talk a little bit about that today, mm-hmm. if I could.
Yeah, please do.
So one of the things, there's a bill out there, Bill Number 777, which must be a lucky number. There's a statute in RISMO 115 on elections that dead voters are to be removed from the rolls. Well, they're not being removed from the rolls, and there's too many dead people on the rolls. And to me, that could open it up for voter fraud.
Do we see voter fraud much here in Missouri?
Well, how do we know?
Mm-hmm. Because everything that I've read that looks at voter fraud says the incidence is very small.
Well, I would rather it be zero. Mm-hmm. There was some irregularities in re-elections and had to be a bunch of problems in St. Louis County. So there does need to be some improvements in our elections. One of the other topics I'd like to talk about today is Real ID. Real ID is a federal mandate after the 9/11 attacks to make sure that people are who they say they are. And if you're not familiar with it, there's only about five states in the country now who have not adopted the Real ID. Mm-hmm. And what that means to us Missourians are, if we do not in the legislature this year adopt Real ID protocols, people may not be able to fly on an airplane.
I remember hearing about this last year.
They may not be able to get into Fort Leonard Wood or Whiteman Air Force Base. And, you know, whether you're a veteran or a family member wanting to go visit the commissary on a base, and you may have a planned vacation somewhere in the country, and if people have a passport is okay. But what about those people that don't have passports? And a family member dies across the country, you need to hop a plane the next day. And you may not be allowed to get on without a real ID, a real driver's license or picture ID. So we are working on a bill. I think there's a couple of them out there right now. You know, I hear all the gamut from A to Z. You know, is it government overreach? Or some people say, I don't want the federal government telling me what to do. Well, we need to do it. And it will get done. People may go down kicking and screaming, but I'm for it and we need to do it.
Another person in Hallsville was expressing how tired that person is of partisanship, and they feel like it's just, you know, one day a certain group does something and they say it's fine, and the next day the other group does it, and then the first group says, that was wrong, how could you do that? You know, it's just sort of very, like, tit for tat.
I'm Carla Cunningham. I'm from Hallsville.
And so Cherie Rice just took Caleb Rowden's seat in the Missouri House of Representatives. So what is something that you hope, as your new representative, she will do for her constituents?
I want honesty and integrity out of all of my representatives. I want the same rules to apply for everyone. I'm tired of they're doing that over here. I don't like that. When the other side's doing the same thing, I want fairness, everybody to be held accountable for their actions. We've put our trust in you to do your job. So that's what I expect you to do. Work together. Not everybody's going to get what they want. But there's too much hate.
How would you work across the aisle or not fall into this sort of partisan bickering?
Right. Well, I did run as a Republican, and I've been a lifelong Republican since Ronald Reagan. So I do hold beliefs. I tell people I am a Christian. I'm a conservative. I'm all about smaller government, less regulations, less taxes. And they know where I stand and come from. But some of my very best friends in the whole world, they're Democrats. I love them. They love me. I actually had a very good friend who has never voted for a Republican in her life. She voted for me as her very good friend. And she said, Cherie, you were probably the first and the last Republican I will ever vote for. But what we do at the House, here's what we do. All the committees have bipartisan people on those committees. And on our freshman tour, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans, we didn't segregate ourselves out. We're very friendly to each other. We want to listen to the other party and see where they're coming from. We are willing to compromise and, you know, see what we can do. On the flip coin of that, in Missouri right now, we are a supermajority. So, you know, I don't want the Democrats to feel like they have no voice or no say-so. But in my district, I will listen to everybody. You know, I've had a lot of people in my district that are union people have contacted me or about different issues that they're very adamant or passionate about one way or the other, you know, vote for this, don't vote for that. And I thank each one individually with a return email. If they call me or email me, I do get back to them personally.
That was Cherie Tolson Reich, the new Missouri House Representative for District 44. Thank you for joining us here on Intersection, Conversations in Our Community. And of course, thank you to our guest, Cherie Tolson Reich, for making time to talk with us. If you want to listen to this interview again, you can visit us online at kbia.org and find Intersection under the Shows tab. You can also follow us on Facebook to stay up to date with our show. Our producers are Claire Banderas, Kelly Polachek, Abby Ivory Gagne, and Colin Crabb. Our music is Montana Skies. I'm Sarah Shariari for Intersection on KBIA 91.3 FM.